I announced Friday night that God willing I would be preaching a message of the Word of God. By the grace of God, I'm going to this morning. Philippians, the third chapter and the second verse, Paul giving and sounding a word of warning. I want to use just three words out of that verse, where Paul says, beware of dogs. Brother Walker, would you stand and ask the blessing of God on this message?
Father, we thank you for the rich spirit that's already engulfed our spirits today. We pray, Lord, that there would be an illumination of the word, the words of instruction, inspiration that Brother Chuck will share with us today. May our hearts be open, may our minds be alert, may our spirits be sensitive, and may we give heed to that which God would bring to our hearts today.
Paul said, beware of dogs. How many times have you walked up to a gate to someone's house, and on that gate, those three words are there, beware of dogs? Would we be foolish enough as individuals to walk into that gate? Brother, I won't. If I walk to a gate and there is that sign, I will not go in. Because there's a warning to me there that if I go in there and I get bit, I get chewed up, if I get killed, that man is not responsible for what happened. Paul said, beware of gold. And I don't think that in my mind, in the best that I can study this scripture, Paul is not referring to that of a canine character either. He's not talking about that lovely little animal that sleeps at the foot of your bed, or that you cuddle in your lap, or that one that runs around the house barking and baying and everything. That's not the kind of dog that Paul is referring to. He said, beware of dogs. We all know that dogs, it's been said, is man's best friend.
Brother, if it is, I don't need any enemies in such case.
Now, I like dogs. To me, they're the best animal in the world. I don't know why I can't ride one of them. I can't.
My man hates you some, but I don't know about that.
You don't go out and slaughter your dog and grill him on the grill, do you? But they say they're man's best friend. You treat a dog right, he'll treat you right.
I patted some on the head and he tried to bite my hand.
I have. I've actually walked up to people's house and pat him on the head, you know, and tried to be a friend to him, and he tried to bite my hand off. And I thought, brother, that's man's best friend, forget it.
We don't need that, do we? But there are some exceptions. Brother, there's some dogs that you can walk in the yard and pet them, and they'll get friends.
I'm reminded of a story that a man and his wife were shopping in a mall one time, and they were looking in a pet shop, and in this pet shop, there was a dog there in the window. And he said, the most pitiful eyes you have ever seen in your life looked up at me. Big old blue eyes, you know, and that dog was just sitting there saying, take me home with you, please. And his wife said, honey, if you haven't bought me anything for Christmas, that's how I want that dog. So he said, I stepped inside, held out $175, and took that dog home with me.
But he said, little did I realize it was the same thing. Uh-oh.
Brother, you're in trouble with St. Bernard.
The thing about this dog was, he said, matter not if our house was full of company.
this dog. Matilda had to make her way into the living room, and the most conspicuous place in the room filled with company, nature took its course right there.
Couldn't go outside. She had scratched on the door and rattled upon it and thought someone was at the door knocking down the door. You'd have to let her in, or she'd cave the wall in so he would let her in. And when company back there, she'd come just running and right in the middle of everything. She'd do what she needed to do. And he said, I brought that dog. I beat that dog. I laid hands on that dog. I prayed for her. I rebuked the devil out of her. I done everything but called the elders in and pour oil on her and anoint her. And she was the same dog, no matter what I done.
God knows to know that Saint Bernard. He said, I tell her, you're the dumbest animal that I have ever seen in my life. You do not know what responsibility is.
And that dog would just sit and look at me and lick her chops like, but when you turn your back, it's going to be the same thing again.
But Paul wasn't talking about a Saint Bernard dog. He was talking about some people who have the nature of a Saint Bernard.
Come on, that cannot accept their responsibility in the church. You might say, brother, I'm just whizzing through my part of this church. I'm doing what they want to be done. But have we set back and took inventory? Are we accepting the responsibility of doing the job that we're elected to do?
Listen to me. I tell my people this. I'll tell you this. If I preach and I pastor like some people take care of offices and churches, they advise me. I'm sincere.
They'd call the lecture today while the pastor's gone. But they'd pass out some ballots and say, let's get rid of this thing and get somebody here that will realize his responsibility.
If we cannot take care of what's here in the house of God, listen to me. If we can't take care of First Assembly of God in Little Oklahoma, God is going to put nothing else in our disposal.
If you can't take care, brother, of the job, if you excuse me, sir, but if you can't take care of Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher, deacons on the deacon board, sir, I'm persuaded to believe that God can't trust us at all.
I'm reminded of a man one time that when the preacher was alive, I didn't do this because I didn't feel like you see. But every time he preached, he put his coat over his body and he preached. Long about the last night of the revival, one of the men came to him and said, sir, I don't know. I didn't carry that coat over you all the time. He said, Lord, glad you did.
I understand from looking at the records of your church,
you don't know your pastor, no.
And if you steal from God, you'll steal from me. And long as I have this coat over my arm, you're not going to steal it. I'm not going to hang it out there before you for you to rob from me like you rob from God. Listen, folks, I didn't carry the coat around because I'm not afraid you're going to steal from it. But brother, it's time that we look at the responsibilities that we have. I don't care if it's the smallest of children. I told my Sunday school teachers the other day, taking those children into those classes and singing a few little songs and breaking out the Crayolas and colored pictures and doing the flat thing, don't get them tossed up.
If you feel like it's out of your, a little bit out of your way to do what you've been elected to do, tell the people, I don't want to do it.
I'd rather somebody come and tell me, brother, tell me, I don't want to be the superintendent.
Brother,
mental health. We have responsibility.
Yes, we do.
Matilda proved to be a full-grown adult.
She could stand with her front paws on your shoulders, and she would be taller than you, over 6 foot. But she never realized the carpet is not the place in the home where nature takes its course. It's out there.
God had run the assembly of God's church to take responsibility.
Yes.
Paul said, beware of dogs. Beware of people that act like dogs. You said, no, Jeff, if you call another bunch of dogs.
No. But the old saying is, if the shoe gets married, I really believe this morning that if we cut too many corners, the next thing we know, we're going to be in bad shape. One person came to me not long ago, and we were talking about appointing some teachers in the lower classes, and one of the men sitting on my board, which I wouldn't call his name because it would be ashamed to, he said, Brother Sheffield, why don't we put this lady in this class? They don't come very regular, but maybe it would give them an affinity to be there. I said, Brother, no way.
He said, they'll run you off, let them go ahead. If they run me off for trying to keep straight the house of God, then they've got a problem. The other man on the Sunday school board turned to him and said, we will not inject anyone into our classes that is not a responsible person to the house of God. It is time that we got responsibility. You know, at a very early age, we learned without trying to shift for glass. Or to get the monkey off of your own back, so to speak. Farmer walked by one day and he saw a little boy climbing his apple tree.
And he said, young man, what are you doing
in my apple tree? Realizing he had been caught.
He said, well, sir, one of your apples fell off and I put it back on. You don't put apples back on trees after they've fallen off. You say, brother, that sounds ignorant. It was.
But you should hear some of the things.
Yeah, boy.
You should hear some of the things that come through the church, that circulate through the church. You say, I've heard some of them. That's good. I think everybody ought to. But brother, some of the things that come through, I think we ought to try to understand. You listen to this. There was a man that God created, man, in the Garden of Eden. And his name was Adam.
Yeah. And Adam had a good thing going.
And God took a rib out of Adam and he made a woman. Oh, they just started laying back on me. He made a woman. And you know the problem he did because he sees that. When I say things, I do not refer to that as a female. But he got in trouble when they see him. You want to have done? He tried to blame God, he tried to blame his wife.
Yes.
He said, now look, God, you don't have a problem here.
And I'm sure God was ready for him.
He said, God, that woman, that you
gave me, is the reason that we're in this
room. I was happy with the dogs and the cows and the chickens and the lions and the tigers. And then, God, you came along while I was asleep without my permission, pulled a rib out of me, and made a woman.
But he wasn't. The only reason that Adam didn't want to face up to his responsibilities was that he was not a responsible man.
You say, well, Jeff, I feel myself a responsible person. That's good. We're responsible to our families and to ourselves, but sometimes we forget about God.
The one that we're supposed to be responsible to first.
He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. I've got to make a living for my family.
Yes, we do. From the Bible says that he provides us for his own hand, what we work in and need for them.
One that don't even believe in God. But what is he worth in if he don't provide for their spiritual condition?
No way to be a man. People said, we didn't see you.
I heard it.
This is not here, sir. My husband's the reason that I'm not in church the way I should be. I hadn't come here and say, Brother Jeffrey, if my husband was in church, I'd be in church there. My husband. Oh, listen. Lord, if I could have married Jim Baker. If I could have married Pat Robinson or Warren Robinson or Jimmy Swagger, some of those guys, brother, I'd just have a good time. I would never have any problems. And I'm talking about all the country and we're preaching the Bible, that's not right. If that man, you was married to him, you wasn't going to follow him, man. You know what our problem is we're not a finished product. We're not a finished product. You know what it takes to finish a piece of furniture to make it nice? Your little sandpaper. Come on and smooth out the little spots.
God, we need to be spanked and cleaned down and ready to realize our responsibilities and our duties to this church. You might say, Brother Sheffield, I was raised in it. I know nothing else. That does not excuse you from one thing. You say, I've never been in church so recently. I got saved and this and that and the other. That does not excuse you from one thing. You still have a responsibility.
If we try to do like this thing for North, not realizing our responsibility, I didn't run out of what to do where I want. Yeah, people are sick. And if the preacher don't like it, just let him kill me. Listen, preachers are humans too. And I've been in some moods when there's a good thing some of the people didn't come around and give me a piece of their mind. I'm sincere. It's a good thing they did.
Maybe I was prayed up, Brother Walker, like I should have been. Maybe I was out of pocket or something the way that I should have not been.
Brother, I've seen sometimes it's a good thing some saying that God didn't tell me this. One man told me, said, don't run around giving people a piece of your mind. Next time you know, you won't have a mind. You give it all away. Another dog, dog number two. A lot of dogs. This dog's name was Marty. If anybody hears name Marty this morning, excuse me. This dog could do awful things.
This is a natural talent. He was not taught.
He could stand up on. You know, when he built all that, he looked so beautiful. He could walk on the ground. Oh, everybody said, oh, my God, that dog's fine.
But that's not the end of his talent.
Didn't
know the thing, did he? But this one could.
Oh, it wasn't an alto, it wasn't a soprano. But he sang like a dog. He sang like you can sing like a dog. And you can tell him all his voice. No,
he's flat as mine. You can get over his back. Whoa! Oh! And they can tell him, you know, and tell him, Lord, you're so smart and you're so good and we love you. And he's just
standing around you, talking about you. Just get the power of it. Another thing that Marty likes to do for him, he won't get a hold of it. He says, you're good,
And the owner said, he just walked around through the house on his front leg. Just threw it out of the door, but they didn't have time to stop and say, boy, that's good. You'll do the door back for me.
After a while, the door figured out he couldn't come. And then you know he's not the only two people. I can go somewhere else, somebody else, but this is me saying to watch me walk around on my back leg, holding it. They were out in the yard working one day, and he said, sure, as they got out in the yard, here come both of them, he was not with the woman's leg, what would he have?
And he said, I know his father wasn't there that time. I looked around, and he was following another man down the street.
He said, last time I saw that dog, he was walking down the street on his back leg, and he followed another man.
Come on, as long as we're getting patted on the back and rocked into the chair and saying the job is where I'm also out of my office. But as long as you're doing these things, other people are saying, I call my reputation a good man. Hey, Mary, let me say, he tells everybody how good I am to let somebody else come in and can do the same job, put them on the piano, the organ, or somewhere else, and brother, you blew the whole thing wide open.
He got rid of Marsh.
if you're going to be in here and just sing and be patted on the back, sir. We don't have anything for you.
I've heard. Dog number three.
You said how many dogs you have?
Three. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This number three is called Mandy, a poodle. Anybody here have a poodle? Come on, don't be last. If you have a poodle, let me see your hand. Had a poodle. Hey, you forget what I'm about to say, would you? Okay. I'm not faster anyway. I'm going to come back. Poodles! I can't stand poodles. I'm sincere. Curly little rascals. They may be a good companion. I don't know. I got the best companion in the world. What I need was a dog. But Mandy was a silver poodle. Oh boy, this was a good looking dog. Candy is silver. Brother, when the lie hit her just right, out of this world. You've seen by a church like that. You thought, oh, man, what they can do for this church, what they've done for this church, you cannot measure. This dog belonged to the neighbor. But Mandy had a problem too. Every morning, once a week, not every morning, but once a week, every Friday morning, they'd carry the trash to the curb, you know, like they do in large cities, I think, in some cities. Carry the garbage to the curb in plastic sacks. But Mandy didn't care anything for the garbage sitting out there undisposed. So early in the morning when her neighbor was carrying the trash out, sitting it on the curb, she was laying under the bushes waiting for him to take the garbage out. He said, I knew by divine providence of God what was going to happen. I would take my garbage out and set it out there on the curb, and I'd turn and go back, and Mandy would lay it on it. But he'd take the garbage out, and when I was out of sight, she had herself a heyday. She had ripped the sacks open and scattered garbage all over the neighborhood. They knew what we had for breakfast and supper and dinner and TV watching and everything else. They were aware of the garbage that my family collected all week long. And he said, if you think that is not very distasteful, you're wrong. For the whole neighborhood to see your garbage scattered all over the sidewalk and in their front door. What would you think about that? What would you do?
You know what I say? I say kill Mandy. She loves to struggle with garbage. Beware of dogs that throw garbage. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I like the way you get sincere when I do.
People that do not want the path to die.
Oh, they're a good person, but I remember when
she may be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost today, but I remember when she was a prostitute, and in my mind she still is. That's garbage!
I remember when he was an alcoholic.
He wouldn't work and make a living for his family when his kids were at home. His sons had to make the living for him after they got married. Then he wants to come to our church, get saved and be a part of our congregation. Yes, sir, sister, you better let him if he gets born again. If you don't, you're throwing garbage. God help us to beware of people that throw garbage in the church.
You know that I didn't say through the tank. Beware of dogs that throw garbage in the house of God. I remember Paul saying one time, listen to what he said. He said, I have confidence in you. You knew who he was talking to. He was talking to the church at Corinth that we studied about this morning. And Paul said, I have confidence in you. They swallowed over the length of a woman's dress, over the length of her hair, and when the pastor got paid. You may have thought about it.
But along comes Paul, in my estimation, is one of the greatest preachers that ever preached, one of the best writers that ever penned anything. And he said, brethren, I have confidence in you. Even though you fuss and you fight and you swallow, I have confidence in you.
That's the name of God. You know what that does for that church at Corinth? Set their minds to think. That preacher can have confidence in me, I will not destroy the confidence in him. And they started shaping up and being good people. They quit fighting over how long a little woman was to wear her hair.
They stopped fighting over how long their dress should be when they said it played the instrument that was as exposed to the congregation. They quit fighting because the pastor was making more money than they were, living in a better home and driving a better car. Sir, I want you to know these are not the things we should have our eyes on as people of God. This is garbage that gets thrown in the house of God. It's what destroys the church today.
You say, Brother Tuffield, would there be any hope for Mandy? Yes. I guess there would be. Maybe I'd kill her too quick. We're guilty of that, aren't we? Listen to me. I said we're guilty of too quickly pulling the trigger and killing someone. One of the Ten Commandments is this, thou shalt not kill.
There's no way.
I've never done it. Pull a trigger and kill. But that's not the only thing that he's talking about. There's more than one way to kill a man or a woman. And it's not pull a trigger and kill them. It's not stab them to death. But brother, you can throw garbage until they're the dead individual. You can talk about them until you kill their character, until there's no confidence anywhere in that person by anyone. And I want you to know that is murder in the eyes of God. That is spiritual murder, and you will pay the price for murder if you're guilty of doing that. I'm almost through. You know what the Roman army did? In battle. If one of their men fell, they didn't say, well, good luck, buddy. One didn't stand there and say,
Mary, 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 come to him, sir. This man has been wounded.
You know what they done?
The
brother, those old Roman soldiers would stand there with their spears and their swords, bows, arrows, and if it meant giving your life, that this brother was a tip of thought that's down, they done that literally. They closed ranks and waited while he was a Jew, and while men got him and carried off the basket. Oh, how many churches have done that to me? Christian army is the only army that bears the wound. Did you know that? A Christian army is the only one that will take a man or a boy or girl that's wounded and say their thanks. Brother, it might be a small thing. It might be a severe wound, but I tell you, we're here to nurse people back to health because if they're wounded, I think we ought to take 2 steps forward, close our ranks, and minister to their needs until they're risen above the problem and the disaster that they encountered and serve God as their brother. That's not biblical.
You don't know what they're talking about.
If you don't think what I'm saying is biblical about attending to the wounded, I'm fixing to prove to you that it is. You say, brother, when we see somebody fall, I'm not sure that I can pray for them. I trust God that I can find what I'm looking for. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul said, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Huh? In the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be pitied. Let me tell you, I've been a few times that if it hadn't been somebody that cared for me and loved me, I would not be.
Brother Walker, somewhere down the line of church,
take 2 steps forward and close ranks and minister to my needs.
Somewhere during the night,
some saint of God has gotten on her or his knees and has said, God, take care of my pastor.
Hallelujah.
Take care of my pastor. That's ministering to the needs. Let me tell you, if you can't do it, then there's something bad wrong. Let me tell you this instance in closing, may I? I know I've been friends on your time already, too. January 1st, 1930. In the Rose Bowl. Football game was being played. Near the closing few minutes of the second half, the team fumbled the football. A young man picked it up and he ran. Man, I'm glad he thought he had to get to the goal line. But one of his own teammates tackled him. And he said he thought, why did my own teammate stop me? But the reason that Roy Ravens was tackled was because he was going the wrong way. Almost scored 6 points for the opposing team. Roy, in his embarrassment, he ran off the field with his head down, covered his head, face, his eyes, ran off the field and ran into the locker room with the gun. The other team, the rest of the team came in. He said, I sat with my head down all through at halftime. But he said, did you know, not a lot of my teammates said a word about it. Not a one of them accused me of doing something wrong. Before the second half began, the coach stood up and began to call names for the starting lineup in the second half, and he called Roy Rego's name. He said, I just knew for sure I was going to get scratched. But he said, I went up to my coach and asked him, why did you put me back home after the mistake I made? He said, my coach spoke some words that have echoed in my ears for years. Roy, it's only half. The game is at all for it's only halftime. All the press had a heyday for the mistake Roy Ravel made. But the New York Times blasted him across the headline, the hero of the roast. Say, you may have made mistakes. You may have felt like you run the wrong way and all to accomplish what you didn't want to accomplish. But the game is not over. Amen. The game is not over.
Oh, Brethren, if you see a man being overtaken
in the fall, ye which are his spiritual, restore that man.
Restore that man.
He will finish it up that, with that scripture by saying, the least thou shalt also be. Let me ask you this morning as I close, would we as a church this morning, in the heat of battle, realizing that we might be one that would fall when we see brother fall, to take the 2 steps forward and close our ranks and minister to the needs this morning? Could we do that?
Church, could we do that? It'd be a most horrible thing to stand before God and a man or woman point their finger at our